It's time for overtime.
Stop what you're doing and listen.
In the world of sports, it's all about the playmakers in today's headlines, from locals to the pros, with interviews from local standouts and sports all-stars across the country that will have you talking.
Head of the pack, all the way in, slam dunk.
Hear from coaches to players, sports analysts, and broadcasters who are a part of the action every day. Overtime, now with Burt Rameen on ESPN 102.3 AM 1000 KSOO, Sioux Falls sports leader.
Welcome in to the Tuesday, August 26th edition of Overtime. And I got to tell you, folks, I'm feeling it now. I'm not feeling well today. I got a little fever. And the only cure is more football. That's right. We have the weekend, week zero, and that's set in just a bit. But there's a twinkle in my eye, a little pep in my step today on this Tuesday, August 26th. We're fired up, ready to rumble into the weekend ahead, where we got week number one of the college football season. And we're talking with a first-year head coach later on in today's show, USD football head coach Travis Johansson, previewing what is ahead for his team. What is that playing, quote-unquote, up to Iowa State this weekend in Ames, nationally ranked team, national television, big venue, rowdy crowd. It doesn't matter. Yotes are coming to play Saturday, and we're excited to talk to Coach Travis Johansson coming up around 12:40 this afternoon. We got a full-scale college football preview on the way in hour number one with one of our favorites, Joe DeLeon of A to Z Sports NFL, the Ruffino and Joe Show, big-time Notre Dame guy, and certainly Notre Dame in the mix this year. Thoughts on the new logo, thoughts on the big games of the weekend at the FBS level, including, of course, Ohio State and Texas, LSU with a big game. We got it all for you later on in hour number one, college football preview time. Joe DeLeon joining us at 11:40 this morning. The Vikings made another trade. What the heck is Kwesi doing? Or better yet, a lot of Viking fans spinning it as, let him cook. Look what he's done right now. Another trade away. But I got a bone to pick with Kwesi Adofa-Mensah today on the show. And Viking fans might not like it. They might say, you're a Packer fan, Bert. Stop talking about my team. I can't stop talking about the team because they're always in the news. They're always mixing it up. They're always making trades, and they keep spinning the carousel up and down. Round and round it goes in the quarterback room in Minnesota. We'll figure it out, but they did trade another player away yesterday, and I don't think the Minnesota Vikings are done. I still think they get the Thielen deal done because they're piling up day three picks next year in 2027 like they're flapjacks, hotcakes, and they're scarfing them down in Minnesota. But I don't think they'll scarf them down. I think they're going to trade them away and package something to get the deal done with the Carolina Panthers for veteran Adam Thielen. But there are other names out there, including KJ Osborne, who got cut out of DC today. He's available. Would you take him for free fitty over Adam Thielen for possibly a package of picks? Would you do that? I get Thielen is way better than KJ Osborne, but we're talking about possibly just a short-term rental scenario. Jalen Naylor will be back. Jordan Addison will be back week four, and Justin Jefferson is that dude. Would you take KJ Osborne? Would you take a smattering of other receivers that have been cut today and will be cut by the 3 p.m. deadline today over Adam Thielen? Or are you in your feels, purple and gold fans? Do you have to have the Minnesota native back? Do you have to have him no matter the cost from the Carolina Panthers? Or would you settle for a different veteran receiver, young receiver, just looking for an opportunity to excel? We'll dive into that and talk about the most recent Minnesota Vikings trade by my trade counter. That's three in the past week for Minnesota, possibly more on the way as well as we crank open this Tuesday, August 26th edition of the show. We'll also check in for Major League Baseball, latest odds and more in hour one, latest from the NFL, and trust me, there's a lot to get to in the National Football League because Terry McLaurin yesterday got a three-year, $96 million deal. Trey Hendrickson got a boatload of cash, but is still on a one-year deal in Cincinnati. Still a contract year, but got more money. He's in camp. And then Around and around we go with the Dallas Cowboys. No news, and it's not good news. Down in Dallas between Micah Parsons and Jerry Jones. Latest from the NFL and a season preview for the Detroit Motor City Lions coming up at 12:20. Good, the bad, the ugly. And we round out today's show with our chat. USD football head coach Travis Johansson swings by around 12:40. Let's dive right into your scorecard. It was an ugly day generally for the American League Central squads. Cleveland shut out at home to Tampa 9-0. Kansas City shut out against the Chicago White Sox 7-0. Other finals, Detroit loses to the A's 8-3. And Minnesota, sluggish to start, sluggish to finish. But there was one slugger who went to bat yesterday for the Twins despite the loss.
Is it on the way? And Wally hits this one to right, and it's not coming back. Check the border. That one's gone. Two-run shot for Matt Wallner, and it's a 6-4 ball game. And just like that, the Twins are back in it.
And they were back in it, but Toronto too much too late. 10-4 the final. Minnesota 59-72. Joe Ryan accumulating his seventh loss of the season. He's now 12-7. Other finals, Arizona loses to Milwaukee 7-5, and Pittsburgh falls to St. Louis in St. Louis 7-6. Today and tonight in Major League Baseball, Rays visit the Guardians at 5:40. That technically the first game underway. Pre-game coverage for the Twins begins at 5:30, 6:07 the start time from Toronto. Other matchups on the way, D-backs at Brewers, Royals at White Sox, Cardinals home to the Pirates, Rockies at the Astros, Cubs visit the Giants, and the nightcap, Tigers at the West Sacramento A's. 9:05, the start time tonight. Cal Raleigh hit one over the fence again last night. He's got 50 homers this year. Here's his manager, Dan Wilson, on some pretty lofty comparisons for the great catcher.
You think at some point he's going to get, get to a point where you're not comparing him to people, but he's getting compared to Hall of Famers, and that means a ton. Being able to set the catcher mark and that continues to go up, that bar continues to get higher. And then, doing what he's doing, it's been super impressive all along.
That's Seattle manager Dan Wilson. So the big dumper now dumping his way over 50 home runs on the year, certainly in the MVP consideration right now. NFL football, the regular season opener is a week from Thursday. It's going to be Thursday Night Football, Cowboys at the Eagles. Philly somehow is still just a 6.5-point favorite. If you're asking me honestly, Eagles are a much better team than Dallas, and Dallas is without their best player, and that might not change anytime soon. Here's ESPN's Adam Schefter on the latest there.
This really is going to be a litmus test to see if everybody feels like everybody says they do. Had somebody yesterday say to me that this has become, right or wrong, Jerry Jones' Waterloo, the issue with Micah Parsons, and that he's not going to lose this one. Now, again, that may be true. All I'm saying is I've heard a lot of strong words from a lot of people involved in all these negotiations in the last week and all summer, or Terry McLaurin and Trey Hendrickson have deals, and Micah Parsons doesn't, right?
Right.
So we'll see how it plays out. But the Micah one feels different, but I also thought that the Trey Hendrickson one and Terry McLaurin one were nowhere, and then they both get done on the same day on Monday, just ahead of the opener.
Yeah, but this feels just a little bit different, doesn't it? The one that surprised me is Trey Hendrickson crossing the picket line, if you will. Somebody dumps $20 million on my desk. I'll probably cross a picket line, too. But regardless, that felt like that relationship was really frayed, busting at the seams. Trey Hendrickson, the beginning of the offseason, pre-draft, was saying, thank you guys so much. I like playing here, but it's evident that they don't want me back at the price that I'm being paid. I'd like to formally request a trade. Love Cincinnati, but it's time for me to go. Things lingered and lingered and lingered. Some hurt feelings, lack of contact, sitting out practice, playing ball, coming to practice, not dressing. It was all over the place in Cincinnati. Terry McLaurin felt like a foregone conclusion because of the desperation of the DC offense. They don't have a whole lot else there at wide receiver. Deebo Samuel sure could be something this year for them. But Terry was the guy and is the guy among pass catchers in that offense. They needed him. You figured they would end up paying him, and they did. 3 years, $96 million. But Jerry Jones continues to be the child in the situation, according to ESPN's Michelle Smallman this morning on Unsportsmanlike.
To use Jerry's own analogy with the mom, the dad, and the child, to me, when Dak was speaking, it was just him acknowledging that Jerry's the child in all of this. Like, a lot of my friends have kids. And sometimes, if their kid's throwing a tantrum, my friends are just like, let him yell it out. Just, like, ignore him. And I feel like that's what Dak is intimating here. Like, yeah, this is just what Jerry does. He's going to throw the tantrum, but like, it's going to be fine. Mm-hmm. I'm not pressed about it because this is what he does. You just have to ignore it and let the process play out.
Certainly, that's one way to go about it. Just ignore him. He'll wake up at some time from his mid-afternoon nap and he'll have a completely different philosophy on life. That's not going to happen. Jerry Jones is who he is. He's stuck in the mud. He is not a new dog. He's an old dog. He can't teach an old dog new tricks. And certainly, the child analogy goes both ways here. If you've ever ticked off a kid or broken their trust, it takes a while to build that back. And I'm sorry, Jerry, I don't want to negotiate without my CBA certified agent next to me. And I don't want to negotiate with you in a dark room on a cocktail napkin and make that a big time harbinger of things to come in Dallas. I'd like to have some guarantees. I'd like to have my agent read over whatever kind of contract you draw up. Micah's position is firm. It's solid. He's played things the right way, all except for, in my opinion, the laying down during the preseason game. A little bit too much there for my taste. But Micah Parsons says, reported to minicamp, reported to training camp, sat out, yes, but has been a good teammate throughout the process. He's not sitting at home, sending selfies out, fishing in the Gulf of America, Gulf of Mexico, whatever it might be. Micah has done things the right way. And Jerry, the guy that is so focused on flexibility and contract and money and injuries and things of that nature, if he wants to be savvy and get one over on the guys and tell his fellow owners at the cocktail party, you see that contract I got done with Micah? I am the man. Jerry wants to say that. But what would have been really cool and a big flex would be the Dallas Cowboys having this done a year ago, Jerry, saving $10 million and pricing the market yourself before TJ Watt's deal gets done and everybody else's deal gets done. It's not cool to be the last man standing, and that's what the Cowboys are right now with these contract impasses, I don't know. But regardless, the Cowboys need to get this deal done. They need Micah probably more than Micah needs them at this stage. Micah's firmly rooted in his position. He's got a lot of leverage here. The Cowboys defense was not great last year. They need him back if they want to get off the season even being competitive with Philadelphia. I don't know what the narrative would look like on Friday morning. I can't wait to see it, by the way. If Dallas gets absolutely blown out by Philly, no pass rush, no pressure at all on Jalen Hurts, and Jerry Jones is sitting up in his booth, twiddling his thumbs and saying, man, I wonder what we could do different here in Dallas. Let me tell you, maybe get your best player in-house. Certainly something that could help the Dallas Cowboys coming up on the eve of the season. Now for the Philadelphia Eagles, one big storyline is Saquon Barkley was amazing last year. He's great, but they ran the crap out of him last year. His workload going to be a big topic. Here's ESPN Jersey's Scott Grayson on that very topic.
Saquon's been getting his fair share of touches. He's been getting, and I know, you look, you're not getting tackles, you're not getting all that. So touches are touches in that regard. They're not quite the same as in a game, of course. But I think it's going to be very interesting to see. Saquon still wants the ball. He wants to go out and prove that this was not just a one-year kind of a hit for him. He wants to go out and show he's going to do it again behind this kind of offensive line and be that kind of spark plug for this offense. But I think that is a great question. One of the biggest ones facing this team going into the season that I'm curious about is how many times they're going to look, you know, to feed him game in and game out.
And there's other backs in the backfield. A.J. Dillon joined the team. You hope that Will Shipley emerges a little bit for Philly. But the baseline facts are this. Last year, Saquon played 16 games, not 17, but 16. He carried the ball 345 times. That is 50 times more than any other season in his career. In addition to that, he was heavily involved in the passing game, hauled in 33 catches, but not as involved as he has been in the past. But again, touches are not the same between rushes and receptions. Typically, you think about the physical nature of running the football versus going out for a pass. Saquon absolutely loaded up 345 totes, and that does not include the playoff run, Super Bowl win for Philadelphia. So yeah, workload, big concern for Saquon and the Eagles moving forward. Now, the other contract situation that did get officially wrapped up yesterday, Trey Hendrickson back with the Bengals. Get to the financials here in just a moment. He essentially just gets more money to come to camp, play, be part of the team this year as the Bengals getting ready to open the season a week from Sunday. Here's Adam Schefter, though, saying it's a one-year deal, but could Hendrickson still end up in Cincinnati beyond 2025?
I would say that Anything's possible. Anything's possible. You don't know how the year is going to go. You don't know how the Bengals are going to be spending. You know, the Bengals still can franchise him after this year. The franchise tag for Trey Hendrickson would be $34.8 million. Mm. So it's going to be pricey. It's 120% of his salary, which is about $29 million. He's got $1 million in incentives if he plays 60% of the plays and the Bengals make the playoffs. So there are some factors there involved. I think Trey Hendrickson, frankly, is going to go where the best opportunity is, whether that's Cincinnati or anywhere else. Mm-hmm. Could be Cincinnati. Could be another team that's willing to pay him more. He's going to be a free agent, and that's what free agents do, unless the Bengals tag him.
And here's the financials from yesterday's deal. Star pass rusher getting an additional $14 million from the Bengals for this season alone, boosting his salary to $30 million. Hendrickson's revised deal also includes a $1 million incentive that he collects if he plays 60% of the plays and the Bengals make the playoffs, which is far from a guarantee at this stage. The team also had discussed a two-year $79 million extension that would have placed him among the top three pass rushers in new dollars, but that did not end up going through. So it's a one-year deal, flexibility, possible franchise tag, but you feel like that might be hammered out in the negotiations. Hey, if I sign this, I'm not playing on a one-year deal again next year. I'm going to avoid the franchise tag. We're not going to do that. So that's speculation on my part, but I would be pretty surprised if he did. Although this not too dissimilar, $30 million this year, nearly $30 million next year if he were to be franchise tagged for the Cincinnati Bengals. Moving forward now, rounding out the scorecard as we get you your regular season slate here. Cowboys and Eagles next Thursday night, next Friday night, Chiefs and Chargers from Brazil. Sunday, Broncos and Packers will lace it up. Broncos against the Titans at home, 3:05. Packers hosting the Lions, and somehow, and I mean this in the nicest way possible, I don't understand how the Packers are favored over the Lions in week one, but I'll certainly take it. Outside eyes, giving the Packers a slight edge. 1.5 is the spread there favoring Green Bay. 3:25 next Sunday afternoon on CBS. And Monday, Vikings at the Bears. Monday night football opener for those two squads. Minnesota, a 1.5-point favorite, 7:15 on both ABC and ESPN. NASCAR race coming up this weekend officially marks the beginning of the playoffs. The chase for the cup underway. Darlington, the site, Sunday, 5:00 on USA TV. WNBA basketball yesterday. Connecticut losing to the Liberty, 81-79. New York is 23-15. And Vegas continues to cook with gas. 79-74 win in Chicago. The Aces are 25-14. Not too long ago, that team was 10-10. That team was 12-12. They traded a win for a loss. Back and forth they went. One of the best teams in basketball right now, WNBA's Las Vegas Aces, a 5-point winner last night. Tonight in the W, Storm at the Fever at 6:00. Mercury visiting the Sparks at 9:00. And your week one college football schedule is officially here. Two nights from tonight, Thursday, August 28th, USF out in Spearfish to battle Black Hills State. That's a 7:00 go time. Buffalo visiting Minnesota. Also, a 7:00 kickoff on Fox Sports 1. Gophers favored by 15. Nebraska and Cincinnati tussle also on Thursday night from Arrowhead Stadium. 8:00 on ESPN. Huskers, depending upon where you look, are between a 6- and 7-point favorite in the game. And Saturday, season openers for the rest of our area teams. Augustana home to Missouri Western. That's a 1:00 kick time. USD at Iowa State, 2:30 kick time on Fox from Ames. Albany visiting Iowa, 5:00 on Fox Sports 1. And Sacramento State, nationally ranked as well, visiting Chase Mason and SDSU Jackrabbit football in Brookings. That is a 6:00 go time Saturday night opener at Dana J. Dyke House. Massive weekend of football ahead. And we got it all for you right here on ESPN Sioux Falls. Prep media polls are out for volleyball and football across the state. And in Class AA volleyball, Harrisburg, the team to beat. Tigers were 31-0 a season ago, and they're the top team in the Class AA poll. They're followed by Washington, O'Gorman, Jefferson, and BV. And the receiving votes, Watertown, Roosevelt, and Aberdeen Central for Class AA. Class single A, a split of first place votes. Del Rapids got 8. Sioux Falls Christian got 1. So that's the top 2. Dakota Valley 3, Miller 4, Hamblin 5. And Class B, Chester, followed by Warner, Northwestern, Hitchcock, Tulare, and Burke. Rounding out the top 5, that is the high school volleyball media poll. You can find it at ESPNSiouxFalls.com. And lastly here, a look at the football prep poll. Brandon Valley remaining the top team again. These top classes that did not play last week, unchanged from a week ago. It's BV, Lincoln, Harrisburg, Jefferson, O'Gorman in the top 5 of AAA. In double A, it's Pier, Yankton, Brookings, T, Watertown, single A, Sioux Falls Christian, followed by Lenox, Del Rapids, West Central, and Madison. And then down to the classes that played this past week. Winner is your top team, retaining the spot in 11B. They're atop of Elk Point Jefferson, St. Thomas More, Wagner, and Sioux Valley. In 9AA, Elkton Lake Benton still your top team, followed by Hamlin, Viberg Hurley, Freeman, Marion, and Freeman Academy. Hanson and Hill City tied for fifth in that poll. But there's a new top team in 9AA. It is Wall with a big win in their opener. They're 1-0. They're the new top team, followed by Warner, Harding County Bison, Alcester Hudson, in Centerville. And then in 9B, Sully Buttes, your top team, followed by Avon, Del Rapids St. Mary's, Faulkton area, and Corsica Stickney. Rounding out the poll, you can view the volleyball and football polls right now at ESPNSiouxFalls.com. Those are your Reliant Bank headlines of the day for hour number one. It is NFL cutdown day. The Minnesota Vikings have made another trade. If you missed it last night, they shipped off a veteran cornerback, and Viking fans are saying, don't we need those? You do. They say so long to Mekhi Blackmon. We'll get you the terms, the destination, everything you need to know, and my bone to pick with the front office in Minnesota coming up next. NFL cutdown day, latest transactions worth noting. Deontay Johnson let go from his team again. One of the latest big names to be cut off an NFL roster as of moments ago. We take the break, come back with some NFL news, Vikings chatter, and more on this Tuesday edition of Overtime.
Best sporting matchups and coverage. We are ESPN 102.3 and AM 1000 KSOO, Sioux Falls sports leader.
Right back with you on this Tuesday edition of Overtime. NFL kind of day around here. College football sprinkled in, though. College football preview with Joe DeLeon of A to Z Sports and the Ruffino and Joe Show coming up here in about 15 minutes and an hour number two. You can't afford to miss it, Jackrabbit fans or USD Coyote fans. Your head coach, USD Coyote head football coach Travis Johansson, is our guest at 12:45. The reason I say Jackrabbit fans, you want to get to know your rival pretty darn well, want to know about their big game this weekend. Tune in around 12:40. Our conversation with the coach down in Vermilion, set to make his way to Ames this weekend, hopefully to put a whipping on the Cyclones of the FBS. Let's talk NFL cutdown day. Minnesota Vikings making another trade. We'll get to that here in just a moment. But the New York Giants have begun the season with three quarterbacks after waiving fourth stringer fan favorite Tommy Cutlets, Tommy DeVito. DeVito burst onto the scene with three straight wins as an undrafted rookie back in 2023 and embraced his nickname, but was likely the odd man out on the Giants depth chart the minute that they signed Russell Wilson, signed Jameis Winston, and spent a first-round pick on Jackson Dart. The New Jersey native was a hit among Giants fans and played in 12 career games with Big Blue. Gonna look to continue his career elsewhere. Tommy DeVito cut out of New York. Yesterday, if you missed it, Kenny Pickett, as Mike Tannenbaum, former NFL GM, prognosticated yesterday on the show, did have to say, I still think Kenny Pickett gets traded. He did get traded yesterday. Pickett ending up with the Las Vegas Raiders, and that's going to be a little bit of an injury substitution there because Aiden O'Connell broke his wrist. He'll be out for some time. Cam Miller, though, not really great for his future immediate playing time chances. He'll probably slide to QB3 for now as Kenny Pickett comes in looking to be a lock for a roster spot there in Las Vegas. Other news to get to, the Browns are releasing veteran wide receiver Deontay Johnson. Cleveland signed Johnson back in April. One-year deal for the vet minimum, the 29-year-old in 2 years, fourth team in 2 years for Johnson after a drama-filled 2024, spent time with the Panthers, Ravens, and Texans, and then tried to change the narrative in Cleveland, gets cut off the squad before the season gets going. Amari Cooper was a big name remaining on the free agent market, but he also got scooped up yesterday. I told you, a lot of news to get to. Raiders are signing the free agent receiver as of yesterday to a one-year deal. The 31-year-old returns to the organization that drafted him with the fourth pick back in 2015 when the team was based in Oakland. Cooper, in 52 career games with Oakland, had 225 catches, 3,100 yards, and 19 scores, had a pretty darn good career in a smattering of other landing spots, but Amari Cooper, a one-year deal, financials not available just yet on that deal for Amari Cooper in Las Vegas. And lastly here from the news cycle, not concerning the Minnesota Vikings, the Dolphins are signing cornerback, former Bill, former Panther, former Packer, Rasul Douglas to a one-year deal. Dolphins have completely revamped their secondary from a year ago and in that revamp had lost a couple players already for the season. Artie Burns, free agent signee, torn ACL. Kader Kohu, lone returning starter for Miami, had the same injury shortly after. And in the span of a week, Miami signed Jack Jones, Mike Hilton, Cornell Armstrong, and Cameron Dantzler, joining the team in the final week of the preseason. And I will see Rasul Douglas likely come in. And I mean this respectfully, he'll be CB1 in Miami. And that defense is going to be pretty darn tough to project this year. We'll see what they can piece together with Anthony Weaver as the DC. But the cornerback room thin, but a little bit less thin than yesterday. Rasul Douglas joining the team as of today. Well, the Minnesota Vikings are at it again. They send Mekhi Blackmon. You recognize that name? He was a premium draft pick just a couple of years ago for Kwesi Adofemensa in the Minnesota Vikings. And what did they get back in the deal? Not much. They trade away Mekhi Blackmon in exchange for a sixth round draft pick next year. And a lot of people are saying with every one of these trades, as homerish as you can be, well, that guy was going to get cut anyway. Or we wouldn't have traded him if we really wanted him around. But my bone to pick here with the front office and Kwesi Adofemensa is this. I think he is a really, really talented general manager in several facets, but the dude cannot draft. And that is evident right now, and even more evident on the fact that we're going to heap all the chips into the table here. And I mean every single one, grab some chips from your neighbor and say, I'll pay you back, shove them into the table and say, if J.J. McCarthy and Dallas Turner, that 1-2 punch a couple years ago, if that does not turn out, what is the narrative going to be on the Vikings front office draft chops? Because it is not good. We talked about Asamoah a couple of weeks ago, Jalen Naylor being the star, the stud of that entire draft class. Lewis Cine, Andrew Booth, and everybody else that was drafted that year off the team, except for Ty Chandler and Jalen Naylor. And Chandler might be out of a job today. So we'll see on the Minnesota Vikings. Now, you look fast forward, Jordan Addison feels like a good player. Legal troubles off the field, but on the field, good player, some would say really top flight, wide receiver two in the NFL. He's a Packer killer, I know that. But outside of that, Mekhi Blackmon hasn't turned out. He just got traded away for a sixth round pick. And everybody wants to spin this and say, well, we're getting this back. We're loading up for another trade. What if it doesn't happen? What if you don't get Adam Thielen? Or what if you bring Thielen in and you end up having a net negative to bring him in? Because this is what it comes down to, nuts and bolts. The Minnesota Vikings traded away Sam Howell, a quarterback that they traded draft capital in the draft this year to get. And I get he wasn't awesome this year for the Minnesota Vikings in the preseason. But like I said yesterday, still young enough to mold and to fix as we talk about Kevin O'Connell being a quarterback whisperer. And they replaced Sam Howell with a dude they could have had all offseason long in Carson Wentz. I don't understand the logic there. Why would you not have just brought Carson Wentz in for a workout? You don't have to sign him, but bring him in. See what he's got. You love him? Maybe make a move then. I don't understand the logic here. If you were considering Carson Wentz all along and you trade for Sam Howell, you bring Wentz in and trade him away. I just don't understand the logic there. The cornerback room feels pretty thin. And Mekhi Blackmon does not have a traditional NFL body. He's a little bit undersized here. Was a 165, soaking wet at the NFL draft a couple years ago. There were some concerns about Mekhi Blackmon. Big injury early on. Hasn't been the same player. I don't necessarily have an issue with moving on from him if you were going to cut him anyway. Or if he was going to be a bottom of the roster, maybe kind of guy. The defensive tackle, Harrison Phillips, that was a starter on your D-line. You traded away to the New York Jets. You got a little bit back in compensation. And yes, you have younger guys, cheaper guys. You'd like to get time on the playing field. But you trade away Sam Howell, which to me feels like, and I might be drinking some other kind of Kool-Aid here, Sam Howell to me feels like a pretty decent backup in the NFL. You trade him away. You trade Mekhi Blackmon away and Harrison Phillips away. And here's your total aggregated return if you're a Viking fan. You get a fifth rounder next year, a sixth rounder next year, a sixth rounder in 2027, and a seventh rounder in 2027. and you give up, and I'm talking about canceling out here, you give up a sixth rounder next year and a seventh rounder the year after that. So you swap those out, you cancel them out, and you get a fifth round pick next year, and you get a 2027 sixth round pick. Not a lot of value for trading away these guys. You hope it works out. Kowesi is a great general manager when it comes to trades, compensation, working around the salary cap, and making these in-season maneuvers, picking up guys like Daniel Jones and other guys off the scrap heap and turning them into comp picks. That's great. But the guy right now, and there's still a long line ahead of him, and there's still plenty of time to judge, but two draft classes in on the entirety, 2022-2023, epic failure, drafting-wise, drafting only for Kowesi Adofa-Mensah and the Minnesota Vikings, and these trades, I don't know, could be part of some bigger, elaborate scheme. Maybe they're loading up on these picks to get the deal done with Carolina, and then we can revisit the discussion. But again, is it really going to be worth it to trade away three or four draft picks or some sort of swap or whatever to get Adam Thielen back when you have guys like Tyler Boyd or guys like Brandon Powell or guys like KJ Osborne, newly available today, or all sorts of other guys getting cut out of camp today across the NFL? You can argue whichever way. I know the heartstrings are tugging for Adam Thielen to come back, and I think that that still does happen. But with that trade in place and all the compensation swaps that they're doing, all the maneuvering for Minnesota, is it worth it? That's my bone to pick. Kowesi, really good GM. Unbelievable GM in terms of financial management, free agent acquisitions, balancing the cap, everything there, including those scrappy pickups. But not a good drafter so far, and frankly, an awful drafter through two draft classes, 2022 and 2023. Verdict is out on Dallas Turner, J.J. McCarthy, and the 2024 class and this year's class. We'll see about what the future holds for Minnesota. Major League Baseball talk coming up next. We squeeze it in between our college football preview with Joe DeLeon, as we say so long to hour number one, down the road here on Overtime. Back after this.
Streaming live on the app, this is Overtime with Burt Ramin on ESPN 102.3 and AM 1000 KSOO, Sioux Falls sports leader.
Well, we got a lightning quick Major League Baseball segment for you now. We got a college football preview coming up in just a couple minutes with Joe DeLeon of A to Z Sports and the Ruffino and Joe Show on YouTube. Seattle's Cal Raleigh hit number 50 of the season last night, extending his Major League record for home runs by a catcher and entering some elite company. Raleigh joined Mickey Mantle as the only switch hitters with 50 homers in a season and became the eighth player in Major League Baseball history to reach the half-century mark in the month of August. Couldn't end up being a very, very special season, even more of a special season for Cal Raleigh. Angels manager Ron Washington said yesterday that he is recovering from quadruple bypass heart surgery. It's the first time he's publicly addressed the health issues that have sidelined him since late June. Washington made the announcement while visiting the Angels for the first time since the operation 8 weeks ago in California, calling it a day he had been looking forward to while recovering at his home in New Orleans. Quote saying, "Doctors told me by the time I reach 8 weeks, I could start doing some light work, but my light work was to come up to Texas and be with the team." Washington is 73 and the oldest manager in the majors. "I feel great. I really do. And that is welcome news for Ron Washington." Lastly, a look at the odds very quickly here. Dodgers still your runaway favorite for the World Series this year, but those odds have trimmed down just a bit. They were in the 200s, and now the Dodgers hanging at plus 400. The Phillies, a team that nobody is talking about, second best odds, plus 600. Tigers, plus 750, back in the third spot. Brewers, fourth at plus 850. And a two-way tie between the Blue Jays and Yankees, rounding out the top six, top 10. Padres, Astros, Mariners, Mets, and the Cubs still hanging out in that 11 spot, been there throughout the year, plus 1,500 for Chicago. Those odds quoted courtesy of DraftKings Sportsbook and always are subject to change. We'll come back with a college football preview you can't afford to miss, the big games of the weekend, the storylines within them, and possibly a pick or two, dark horses, Heisman talk, and more. College football preview, Joe DeLeon joins us next on this Tuesday edition of Overtime.
ESPN Sioux Falls gets you back to more of overtime with Burt Rameen on ESPN 102.3 and AM 1000 KSOO, Sioux Falls sports leader.
Right back with you on this Tuesday, August 26th edition of Overtime. All things football all the time. Green Bay Packers have announced their initial list of cuts, and unfortunately, Amar Johnson, Jackrabbit alum, is on that list, but there's still a big possibility there that Amar Johnson, former Jackrabbit, joined the show last week, could end up on the Packers practice squad or a practice squad or a roster league-wide. We'll keep you updated on that. We just retweeted that news item at ESPN Sioux Falls on Twitter. Joe DeLeon of the Ruffino and Joe Show on YouTube. Top-tier podcast covering college football from top to bottom, left to right. Coast to Coast joins us now. Also, A to Z Sports NFL work for Joe. Joe, it's always great to have you, my friend. Anytime we talk to you, I get fired up for football season. How you doing today?
I'm doing fantastic, especially considering that we're here. It's been what feels like the longest off season ever, but also the quickest one. And we're finally getting week one, starting off with some fantastic matchups.
Yeah, historically good week one, historically good week zero, frankly, lately in college football. And you feel like the modern way we cover football, there's more news than ever. There's more moves than ever. Coaching, firing, benching, transfers, all this. And it keeps us company, but the offseason still feels pretty darn long. But we're out of it now. First things first, though, Joe, I know you do a great job covering and engaging with the Notre Dame fans. Give me thoughts, honest thoughts on the logo change. Not a massive change. He's got a football, a little bit more flexibility, a little bit more muscle tone as well. Give me your take on Notre Dame's new Fighting Irishman logo.
I get that they have to modernize, and I understand that Notre Dame has like this big alumni base of folks that work in consulting, but it really feels like some sort of odd, overanalyzed decision to update the logo. Mm-hmm. Notre Dame is one of the most unique, not only mascots, but also leprechaun logos in all of sports. It's recognizable across sports. I wasn't the biggest fan of this. I get it. You're trying to sell some more merch, trying to have something a little bit different. My dad, who's an alum, loved it. I did not like it as much because I think it's cool. Slap in the face of the tradition, but if it sells more gear, it sells more gear.
It certainly will. You feel like minor league baseball and the great imaging they have, the branding they have, the rebranding, the trash pandas, every other funky logo out there has kind of reshaped the game in terms of every level of sports and rebranding. Notre Dame getting a rebrand. You can view that new logo at ESPNSiouxFalls.com. Speaking of Irishmen, physical, real Irishmen watched Iowa State and Kansas State in Farmageddon in Dublin for week zero. What did you take away from that game between contenders in the Big 12?
Yeah, I thought that on both sides, we learned a lot about both these teams. Iowa State proved that despite having a completely reset wide receiver room with Jaden Higgins and Jalen Knoll moving on to the NFL, that they could adjust and they could get creative in producing on the ground. Hampson and Sama were a fantastic tandem in this game, and they were using a lot of intriguing ways to create space for the both of them in the second half when they needed to start rolling on the ground, a lot of motion, a lot of different pulling linemen that caused a little bit of confusion on the Kansas State side of things, despite that defensive line having a ton of success early. I think that was a big driving force for them, as they also executed in the sense that they didn't have as many penalties as Kansas State did. It felt like Kansas State was not as effectively prepared for this matchup. And I have a lot of concerns now for Avery Johnson's development and how he's going to be utilized this season by offensive coordinator Matt Wells. I was really disappointed that the thought process was in the rain on a muddy, messy field that they were going to just throw it as much as possible. 30 passing attempts for Avery Johnson didn't make any sense to me. He is one of the fastest quarterbacks in all of college football, and they only gave him 8 rushing attempts, includes situations where he scrambled as well as the sack that he took in this game. It feels like they need to be a lot more deliberate of orchestrating ways for him to have the rock in his hands and to threaten as a runner. When he did that as a true freshman with Colin Klein calling the plays, it was a completely different version of Avery Johnson, and I hope that we get it back soon.
Certainly a lot of takeaways from that game. I know a lot of fans in our neck of the woods fired up that Iowa State pulled the upset of sorts over K-State across the pond. Massive week one ahead, Joe. Let's start with the biggest game. And unfortunately, it's at 11 o'clock on Fox, but it's going to be massive no matter what. Columbus and Ohio State will be rocking home to Texas. And Ohio State, a narrow favorite in the game. Lots of storylines here. First-year starter in Julian Sain beating out Lincoln Keenholz, who is a South Dakota native, by the way. But Texas has got Arch Manning. They got a bunch of returners as well. What moves the needle for you most in this ball game, and what do you think as to who wins the thing on Saturday?
Yeah, I think Texas is going to win this ball game, and I think that we've got two squads that are in similar positions where there's a lot of resetting, especially at quarterback for both these teams. We've got two young, highly touted recruits that there's extremely high expectations for, but there's two differences between these two rosters for me. Texas Arch Manning has actually played games with consequence. Julian Sain has not. He's a little bit older. He's been around. He knows what goes into winning a ball game and winning an important game like this. I think that that indirect exposure that he's had, been around Quinn Ewers, seeing some of the mistakes that he made that he shouldn't be making as a passer, is going to pay dividends. And then the other part about this, the depth that Texas brings on their defensive line, I think is going to show up in this game. Ohio State, on their side of things, it's been talked about how the interior D-line has been pulled apart with the guys that left for the NFL, and they're lacking depth there. On the Texas side, they were so aggressive in the transfer portal that it was almost a running gag this offseason for teams that wanted and needed defensive line depth, that Texas was just taking all of that. I think that they're going to rotate a lot of bodies. I also think that Colin Simmons is going to emerge after being a rotational guy that was productive last year into one of the best pass rushers in college football, and Trey Moore is the perfect guy to rush opposite of him. I think that that is where they ultimately prevail, as the line of scrimmage is always going to be one of the most important pieces when we're predicting a game.
Texas and Ohio State, that's an 11 o'clock go time on Fox. And Ohio State currently, according to ESPN Bet, right around a 2-point favorite. LSU and Clemson, with the P included, of course, 6:30 Saturday night on ABC. Tigers over the Tigers. Clemson favored by 4 points in the game. I know your co-host Rufino and Joe show, if I recall, big LSU fan. What do you think about this game coming up on Saturday night?
Yeah, Blake is not very happy with me because I've been picking Clemson for this game. And the biggest driving force is a lot of what I just brought up there with this Ohio State-Texas game is who's going to win along the lines of scrimmage. I think that if we look at what LSU has to deal with all those guys that moved on to the NFL, including Will Campbell, who was a top-five pick, it is going to be a daunting task for them to be able right away in week one have the chemistry and the cohesiveness to play well and to protect Garrett Nussmeier effectively, especially considering the group that they're going to be going up against. We have Peter Woods, we have T.J. Parker, two guys that are going to be first-round picks in this upcoming draft. We also have DeMonte Capehart, who could be a top 100 pick in the upcoming draft. And we also have Will Helt, who falls into that description as well, who is a transfer from Purdue. Very effective usage with his hands on one side, and then you got Parker, who's the speedster, on the other. It is going to be difficult and also frightening to leave any of those guys individually in one-on-one situations. Whoever they divert too much attention to will free somebody else up to win. I think that it's going to come down to a close game, and all it takes is one pressure that turns into a turnover for Garrett Nussmeier, who was turnover prone last year, or one pressure that leads to a big sack that ends an important drive. I have to really lean into the fact that this defensive line for Clemson has so much talent, and it's going to be orchestrated by a much better defensive coordinator this year in Tom Allen, who came over from Penn State.
That's a big game coming up on Saturday night. Then on Sunday, there's a lot of bones to pick that I have with the scheduling of sporting events, but I love this week one of college football before the NFL. NFL's got the weekend off. They kick a couple big games to Sunday to keep us and our appetites roaring. Notre Dame and Miami, that's going to be Sunday night, 6:30 on ABC. Irish have a new quarterback. Miami's got a new one that has been certainly around the block. A ton of experience for Carson Beck. This one is a big one. Notre Dame defending runner-up. 2.5-point favorite in Miami for the game. Is there any chance that the Hurricanes get the win coming up on Sunday night?
Well, I think there absolutely is a chance, and I think that the driving force for Miami's success in this game comes off of how well Carson Beck plays. He's got a really good offensive line in front of him. He's got a really deep running back room. Tremar Brown is a player that I know folks in South Dakota are probably familiar with, considering how impactful he was for the Bison when South Dakota State faced off with him and South Dakota faced off with him. He's now a part of that group, and they're going to be rotating a lot of bodies. They've got all these hard-nosed, big, physical runners that they can lean on. And I think that having less on Carson Beck's shoulders will be great for him. And I think that Shannon Dawson's offense is going to set him up to succeed. But on the flip side of things, he is going to be squaring off with one of the best secondaries in college football. They're bringing back pretty much their entire secondary. The only notable guy that they lost was Xavier Watts. And they bring back Adon Shuler. They bring back Leonard Moore and Christian Gray at both outside corner spots. They were able to be so locked down in so many games last season once Leonard Moore stepped in as a freshman. And all of those guys now have this confidence about them in order to play well against a quarterback who loves to throw in tight coverage and apparently loves to make mistakes and turn the ball over in those spots. I think that what's also important about this game is that we've got Corey Heatherman stepping in as the new defensive coordinator for Miami after having so much success at Minnesota. But he's got four new defensive backs at every single defensive back position that have to step up. It is really hard in your first game against a top opponent trying to figure out that communication. A lot of times when you've got that many new faces, it is a multi-week process to getting on the same page. So that is probably one of the biggest things that I'm paying attention to in this game.
Heck of a preview to those three big games of the weekend. Texas at Ohio State, LSU visiting Clemson, Notre Dame at Miami. First two on Saturday, latter one Sunday, 6:30. Lastly, Joe DeLeon, our guest, Ruffino and Joe Show, top-tier college football podcast from sea to shining sea, if you will, even including some talk about our teams out here on the beautiful prairie, I'm sure. Also, A to Z Sports NFL. Joe, before we cut you loose, give me a team or two and a player or two to watch this year that might not be a diamond out in the open, but a diamond in the rough, a team or two that's a little undervalued, and a Heisman guy that might not be talked about too much right now. What do you think?
Yeah, one team that I would say that fits the description of being a chaos creator. I don't know if I go as far as say that I think this team reaches the college football playoff, but I think that they could be a 9-win squad, and I think that they could end up knocking off somebody who's in the hunt, and that being Washington in the Big Ten. Damon Williams Jr. stepped in at the end of the year last year and did some tremendous things. And to me, he's got the athletic profile to be a guy that can upset one of the top opponents on their schedule. He's super elusive. He's small. He's got an underrated arm, and he's a great decision maker, kind of like a point guard style guy who will make people miss and then still find ways to connect while he's escaping the pocket. Those improvisational skills, I think, are going to help them. They also, at the same time, have a tall and scary secondary with 2 6-foot-3-plus guys in Ephesians Prysock and Zakario Davis out there at corner. Those are the types of dudes that end up being no-fly zones against when you're trying to throw. And the most underrated coordinator hire this offseason was Ryan Walters, who did not work out as Purdue's head coach, but still ended up being one of the best defensive coordinators over the past couple of years when he was at Illinois. Coming back to college football as a DC and being this defensive coordinator for this Washington squad, replacing Steve Belichick, it might actually end up being an upgrade in the long term with how good of a coach he is. And then if I was to throw out somebody who I think could end up being a really unexpected winner of the Heisman, I'll throw out Fernando Mendoza. That one's like a really deep one because like we can talk about the guys that aren't super high odds but are in the mix, like your Ty Simpsons and DJ Lagways of the world. They could be in the conversation, but it's not like it hasn't been talked about. I think Fernando Mendoza fits the description better because he is now on a team with quality receivers, an improved offensive line, a solid run game, and a very experienced defense. This Indiana squad could absolutely get back to the college football playoff this year, depending on how their resume looks and they don't drop any silly games. Mendoza will be the driving force for that. I think that he has a chance to go on to become a top 10 NFL draft pick because he's got a cannon of an arm. He's deceptively mobile, and he reminds me a ton of Matt Ryan when he was coming out of Boston College. So we could see that same level of intrigue and excitement over a quarterback at a lesser-known program with Mendoza, just like Matt Ryan did.
Joe DeLeon, our guest. Great stuff, Joe, as always. Deep dives into the biggest ball games and storylines galore. You can find him on Twitter at Joe DeLeon. College football, NFL draft, Giants football, and, of course, a lot of FCS football knowledge in there as well. Joe DeLeon, Hack City Podcast, Ruffino and Joe Show, and A to Z Sports NFL. Have a great kickoff weekend, official kickoff weekend, my friend. We'll talk again real soon.
Of course. Thanks as always for having me.
All right. That's Joe DeLeon. How about that for a deep dive? We got you primed and ready, ready to rumble into the weekend. Texas, Ohio State, I'm on board. I'm also a certified member of the Buckeye Hater Club. So no surprise. I like Texas in that opener over Ohio State. LSU, Clemson, Battle of the Tigers. Not so sure. Not going to make up my mind on that for some time. Notre Dame, Miami, circle me, Bert. Circle the Irish coming up on Monday for that game. Joe DeLeon, great stuff there. Great hour number one. Hour two on the way, including our conversation with USD head football coach Travis Johansson, still to come on this Tuesday, August 26th edition of Overtime. And it continues next right here on ESPN 102.3 AM 1000 KSOO.